Just kidding, that was a joke. All right, welcome to church. I'm the piano player, that's why I said that. That was a joke. For those of you that aren't familiar with who I am, I see some new faces. My name is Matt. I am your associate pastor here at Mission Point. So soon enough, I know you guys are keeping track of this. I will have been here 5 years and like August was the first time I came here. It was right after y'all had dedicated this, and I came in low-key. I didn't even tell anybody, and Pastor Hackworth knew. Anyway, yeah, almost 5 years ago. Is that crazy? Anyway, he told me I wore jeans that first Sunday, and he kind of planned on hiring me. He's like, you have jeans on. I'm like, yeah. He's like, we're pastors. We don't wear jeans on Sunday morning, but anyway, it was funny. I love Pastor Hackworth, but that was one of our first interactions. I said, I'm not going to wear jeans on Sunday morning anymore, and now you're gone, and I'm wearing jeans. Anyway, love you guys. All right, so tonight, this month, listen, buckle up. We always enjoy, Danny and I, if you all could just hear, if you could be a fly on the wall, I just said the other day, if you could track, like, our conversations, if someone would sit there and be like the secretary, like you all would be, but just we're trying to find ways to make you fall in love with Jesus, right? Because if you're in love with Jesus, then a lot of these other issues are going to take care of themselves. And so we're constantly trying to figure out ways. And so this month, apologetics, this is week one. I'm just going to give you an intro. I want you to understand, church, why this is important, okay? This year, our theme verse is going to be 2 Corinthians 10:5. So our theme for the month is this. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ. So what we're trying to do this month is educate you in apologetics so that you are better prepared to reach the world. We're trying to remove obstacles. Listen, church, people are going to think of plenty of excuses not to come to church. The world is going to fill up your schedule. You're going to find reasons not to come to church like you're going to find reasons not to go to the gym, right? It's the same thing. And then there's always next Monday, and I'll start next Monday. Before you know it, you haven't been to church in 6 months, and you don't know how you got where you're at. So we have obstacles. And so what we're trying to do is educate ourselves so that when we're reaching a lost world, we know what we're talking about. So, again, I like to define our terms. Apologetics has nothing to do with an apology. I'm not sorry in any way for believing in Jesus Christ. I am unapologetic in my belief in Scripture that from Genesis to Revelation, it is true. What it says is relevant to my life. Jesus Christ died for me. He rose again on the third day, and he's coming back for me, right? I'm not apologizing for that. So when you hear apologetics, don't think apology, okay? Comes from the Latin apologia, okay? And what that means, apologia means it is a formal written defense of one's opinions or conduct. A defense. If you're on trial, right? If you were on trial and you had to defend Jesus Christ, you had to defend why you believe what you believe, would you have a chance against a cross-examiner in your Christian life? Would you be able to defend Christ in a court of law? Take it a step further. Would you be able to be convicted in a court of law for even being a Christian in the first place? Is there enough evidence in your life that I could take you to court right now and convict you for being a Christ follower? Could I gather enough evidence in your life on a day-to-day basis? This is important. Defending your opinion, your conduct, your belief. In Christianity, okay, the intellectual defense of the truth of Christianity. That is what apologetics is. So it's normally considered a branch of theology, okay? Theology is the study of God. For example, I have a master's in theology. That is a broad understanding of the study of God, okay? Under that umbrella would be apologetics, right? So apologetics is a branch of theology, and its purpose is twofold, okay? There's two reasons why we want to study apologetics. Number one is this, to fortify your beliefs against doubts. The more you know, the more secure you feel. If I was in an airplane and I kind of understood jet propulsion and I understood the wings and I understood that the pilot knows what he's doing, the more I understand about that, the more secure I feel in their ability to do that. If I came on the plane and the guy's in cut-off jean shorts and a tank top with stains and he has, you know, a 40 in his hand and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, I would be a little weary, right? Because I don't know if this guy knows what he's doing. But now that I when I know, right, through apologetics, I study the defense, I don't have any doubt about what I believe. I have no doubt that that pilot, that plane, right, is going to do its job. And so it's to fortify your beliefs against doubts, because those doubts will come. Am I saved? Is this true? Does God really love me? Can I really be used, right? Satan's very first strategy was to ask a question, right? Did God really say, right? Did God really say? So if he can shake your beliefs, he's got you. Okay, number two. To remove the intellectual stumbling blocks that get in the way of other people not believing in Jesus. So not only is this month for you to fortify your beliefs, but it's also for others that you're interacting with on a daily basis so that when you speak to them, right, and they look into your life, they can see Jesus. Amen. That's why we do apologetics. In other words, if you say you're about this life, if you call yourself a Christ follower, that should mean something. If you're about that life, then be about that life. If I were to tell you, Elaine, if we were to sit down out there in the lobby and I were to tell you, Elaine, that I hold multiple world records in powerlifting, I hold multiple state records in powerlifting. Right now, currently as it stands, Elaine, I am one of the strongest men to ever step on a powerlifting platform, right? Not toot my own horn. If I told you that, okay, but then I took you into the weight room and I couldn't bench 135 pounds, right? So there's a difference between what I told you. I told you information about myself, okay? But then when I took you into the place where I said I was most comfortable with, right? World record holder, and I can't do anything. I'm weak. I can't curl. I can't bench. I can't squat. I can't deadlift. At that point in your mind, there's something's amiss, correct? From what I told you and from what I'm really doing, right? It's not adding up. Yet my whole life in church, this is how I've seen people behave. They come in, they go out. They love you, brother, add you to the prayer chain, love you, great message, pastor. It's a great show, and it's what good people do, but your Monday through Saturday life reflects Jesus about as much as I would see my reflection looking into a dirt mound. I'm not going to see my reflection in that dirt mound, right? So there's something that's just not adding up. And if you accidentally fell, right? I know some Christians that if they accidentally fell into a conversation about Jesus, accidentally, about, you know, they were pressed a little bit on why they believe what they believe, your ability to present even a semi-intelligible response would be only through the direct intervention of the Holy Spirit himself. So that sounds harsh, man. And maybe it is. Maybe it is a little harsh, but as I look around at the state of the church, we're suffering from a serious problem because of willful ignorance. Willful. It's not that the answers aren't there. It's that you don't know that they're there because most people don't read the Bible. And those that read the Bible, sometimes there's issues applying what the Bible says. And so I say all that to say that this stuff is important. Amen. It's important that if you say you're a Christian, that you do your best to try to live in a way that Scripture prescribes, tells you, directs you to live. Do we have any salespeople in here? Do we have any salespeople? Part of your job, literally, like your salary is based on sales. Anybody? Anybody? Sales? Okay, sales. Right. Okay, Heather. Okay, your sales. Let's say you went to a client, right? You went to a customer. And you had no idea what you were selling. You didn't know anything about the product. You didn't know anything about the carpet. You didn't know how durable. You didn't know the colors. You went into their office and you didn't know anything. How would that meeting go? Has anybody seen Tommy Boy? Okay. Tommy Boy is a movie about a guy. His dad dies, leaves him this brake pad business. He doesn't know anything about brake pads. It's up to him to save the company and sell these brake pads. He starts off and it is a catastrophe. He doesn't know his product. He's lighting things on fire on the desk of the customers. He doesn't know anything. And it's a train wreck for the first half of the movie, right? But something clicks and he finally gets it together and he understands the product. He understands who he's talking to. And things obviously begin to turn around. Listen, if you are in customer service, if you are in sales and you're trying to sell a product and you don't know anything about that product, it's going to be very difficult for you to sell that product. Yet this is how we're trying to live our Christian lives day in and day out. We're trying to sell Jesus to a world that's lost and very hungry. Can I tell you, the world is hungry for Jesus Christ. They don't know it, right? They don't know they need Jesus. But they're hungry and they're looking for a product. But we don't have enough information to sell that product. And that is a problem. They're looking, they're searching, they're trying to fill it up with every vice and addiction known to man. We have a God-shaped hole in our heart, folks, that can only be filled with that. If you try any other method, any other way, you're going to be throwing things into a bottomless pit. The world is hungry and they're searching and they need people that know their apologetics, that can defend their faith, speak intelligently, and help win them to Jesus Christ. That is a group of believers that we have to have. Thomas Paine, he may or may not be familiar to you. He was best known as the author of Common Sense. Common sense needs to be rephrased these days. It's not so common, right? No such thing as common sense. Amen. This guy hung out with the founding fathers, so that's the kind of the time period. Famous atheist, and this is what he says about Christians. This is what he says. Are you ready? Quote. Oh, there's a couple big words in here that I'll break down because I actually had to look them up as well. So I'll help you. Of all the systems of religion that were ever invented, there is no more derogatory to the Almighty, more unedifying to man, more repugnant to reason, and more contradictory to itself than this thing called Christianity. Too absurd for belief, too impossible to convince, and too inconsistent for practice. I want you to listen to this. It renders the heart torpid. What does that word mean? I had to look that up. Torpid means mentally or physically inactive. Torpid. Vocabulary of the day. It renders the heart torpid or produces only atheists or fanatics. As an engine of power, it serves the purpose of despotism, which a despot is, that's the absolute power, right? Exercising absolute power. Serves the purpose of despotism. And as a means of wealth, the avarice, another vocab word. Anybody know what avarice means? Anybody out there? Avarice? All for $1,000 now that no one knows what it means. All right, avarice, extreme greed. Avarice, okay? The avarice of priests. Extreme greed, that's us, Danny. Talking about pastors. But so far as respects the good man, in general, it leads to nothing here or hereafter. This is what he thinks of Christianity. This is what he sees in Christianity. Do you know what I see in churches? I see a lot of torpid hearts, mentally or physically inactive. When I talk to my fellow pastor friends, you know what they see? They see torpid hearts. They see a whole lot of people that you're saved. You're good people. You're on your way to heaven. All of those things are true. But you're failing in many areas. And when I say you, I'm talking to myself. You and me, we're failing in areas that we need to not be failing in. If I was to line up a job description of Christianity, what would your evaluation look like? When was the last time you invited someone to church? Do you know where a lot of atheists are created? You know where a lot of atheists are produced? Do you know where? Where do they come out of? The church. They come out of the church. Listen, I can't even begin to make a list of people throughout my life in ministry that have walked away from the faith. Why are they walking away from the faith? Many times, if you dig far enough, it's a traumatic experience, right? There's normally a lot of anger there. Something has happened, and they have in their minds a justified reason to direct hate at something they don't even say they believe in. Does an atheist need any ammo? Do they need ammo to bring something against a Christian? Pretty simple, right? You can do a Google search right now on just contradictions of the Bible. Contradictions in the Bible, just simple Google search. Guess what you'll find up? 36.5 million results in 0.67 seconds. Contradictions in the Bible. And you can do a myriad of searches, obviously, that will say awful things about Christians. But we don't have to give them any more ammo, right? We do a pretty good job at sometimes not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the problem that I find with most atheists is that they study more than most Christians so that they can have ammo against you. So when you bring something that in their mind, therapeutically, they've done enough research so that they can feel better about where they're at. They've decided to reject Christ, and so now they have to do enough research that says, well, the Bible wasn't true anyway. So now I feel better about my decision to become an atheist. That's why they study. Because knowledge is really important. Knowledge, wisdom, knowing what we're talking about here. Scripture, truth. Hosea 4:6 says this. Hosea says this. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as my priests. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children. You want to read a wild Bible story? Read Hosea. Married this chick named Gomer. Woo! She was not a nice girl. Among other themes in the book of Hosea, one thing we see is Hosea, he's grieving over the unfaithfulness that Israel displays towards God. He's grieving. He's upset. He's saddened. Israel had been missing its apologetics month. They had forgotten the teachings and the truths of the God that had rescued them from so much. Do you know what Danny and I spend literally hours talking about on a weekly basis? I told you earlier. How can we get people to want to learn more about Jesus Christ? How can we get you to fall in love with Scripture? And then not just learn it, not just read it, but then apply it. See, our churches, our people, our pastors, we're being destroyed because we're forgetting the truths of Scripture. And look again what he says in Hosea. He says this, I will forget to bless your children. Got any parents in here? See, if we don't know the truth to teach you our kids, if you don't know it, how are they going to know? How can you teach something that you don't know? And guess what? When you don't teach them truth, if you don't bring your kid up in the way they should go, they're going to find truth. They're going to find their own truth. Someone is going to fill in the blanks. You don't talk to your kids about sex, guess what? They're going to go to school and their friends are going to teach them. You don't teach them about spiritual things at home. Guess what? They're going to go to school, and their atheist friends are going to teach them about spiritual things, or lack thereof. I will forget to bless your children. But find their own truth. We have homosexual pastors, female pastors, transgender pastors, child molesters, porn addiction, affairs, embezzlement. It's like every week. Danny, every week do we hear of another titan that falls. And in my mind, what song do I sing when I hear that? No, anybody guess? Dun, dun, dun. Na, 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 na. No, 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 no. Every time. Robbie Zachariah, one of the greatest apologists of our time. Dead now. Not speaking of the dead, but this dude was going into these massage parlors, and let's just say he enjoyed the ending more than he did the rest of the massage. One of the greatest apologists of our time. Spoke to sold-out stadiums about the truths of Scripture. That's right. You know the average size of a church in America right now? Do you know what it is? 10 years ago, a decade ago, it was less than 70. Do you think that has gone up or down? It has not gone up. It has gone down. I've told you this before. Danny just mentioned it in our announcements. Pastors are leaving the ministry at breakneck speed. Missionaries are leaving the mission field at breakneck speed. Danny, we have no one in line waiting to pick up our torch and go, right? There's not many people that are beating the doors down to become pastors. There's not many teenagers that are surrendering their lives to full-time ministry. It's just not happening. And some of the ones that are in line, you need to watch them. And so this is why when we talk about apologetics, when we talk about this month, why it's so important. But once again, you have to want it. You have to want to learn about God. You have to want to learn that for yourself. I can't make you do that. So I want you this month, I want you to catch the vision of what Danny and I are trying to do here at Mission Point. I want you to understand that when we're teaching you these things, it's because it's important. We don't do it just to fill the month. Hey, this is calendar. What, we don't have anything else going on. No. This stuff is very important. And when you start to apply some of these principles, when you do accept that apologetics, learning to build a defense, be ready. Again, I want to be very clear. We're not teaching you this stuff so that you can go and win an argument. Right. Can I tell you that? Right. That is not our motive. Because if you go into any conversation with anyone trying to win an argument, spouses, hello? How does that normally work? How does that normally end, right? Guys, if you've ever won one, guess what? You didn't win. Ever. You thought that you did. You walked away. Oh, I got that one. You didn't win. I promise. She got you somewhere. It's important. This stuff is important. So if you apply these things, this is what's going to happen. Four things. You ready? Apologetics. Number one, you'll know why you believe what you believe. If you embrace, if you understand what we're trying to do here, if you get excited about things that are spiritual and you want to see the world transformed for Jesus, these four things will happen as you begin to learn apologetics. Why are you a Christian? You'll know why. Is it because you believe the Bible? Is that why you're a Christian? Is it because you were raised that way? You were raised in church, so you're a Christian? Is it because Jesus saved you and he changed your life radically? Is that why you're a Christian? Because guess what? If I ask the Muslim, why are you Muslim? If I ask the Mormon, why are you Mormon? Guess what that Muslim would say? Because I believe in the Quran. Because I believe the Quran is true. Why are you a Muslim? Because I was raised that way. Why are you a Mormon? Because I was raised that way. Because it changed my life, because when I read Muhammad and the prophet, he changed my life. So who's right? It's your spiritual experience against theirs. Who's right? That's why we study apologetics. Because we believe that God is real and the Bible is true. That's why I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian for any other reason other than I really believe that what the Bible says is true. I've read some of the other stuff. I've kind of, you know, I had to at some point accept Christ as my own Savior, not my dad's, not my mom's, not my grandpa's. Jesus had to be my Savior. I really believe that the Bible's true. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I want you to be a Christian. Not because it makes you feel good. Not because week in and week out, this is what good people do. I want you to be a Christian because you believe it. Because guess what? When you believe it, your life changes.
Amen.
When you really believe the words that are in Scripture, you're going to live differently. If you really thought that your coworkers were going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ, you would treat them differently. If you really believe that your family member right now were to die without Jesus, they would go to hell, you would treat them differently. There would be more of a sense of urgency. I want you to be a Christian because you believe in the precepts of Christianity and what Christ did for us. That's why I want you to be a Christian. When you study apologetics, you're going to know why you believe what you believe. This Apologetics Month will help us to communicate the truth to others. So it will help us, but it will also help us be able to display and communicate the truth, because we have truth. That's what I believe, right? We have truth over here. I've got to find a way to have this truth over here to be able to teach truth to this person, right? So I got to figure out how to bring this truth over there, okay? That's part of apologetics, knowing how to do that, how to transfer this truth over to this person's ear gates, show them how to live and love Jesus Christ. Number two, your own faith will be strengthened. So not only will you know why you believe what you believe, your own faith will be strengthened. It took me years, church, full transparency. It took me years to appreciate the Bible.
Amen.
I'm a pastor's kid, man. I'm not blaming it on that, but like, it was just part of it. You went to church. It's your dad's job. You see him at home, then you see him on stage. Like, it was this guy we're going to stop talking. Like, so it's just a different, you know, it's just a little different setup, but some of you that were raised in church, I'm sure, you know, Tom, you had a pretty close raising to a pastor's kid. I'm sure you're in the door every daggone time. So right, we understand what that looks like. But it took me years of doing that, going to church, going through the motions, singing all the right songs, the old ladies pinching my cheeks. And it took me years of going just through this game, right, to really appreciate the Bible. I always knew it was God's word, but it wasn't until I really decided to dive in. It really wasn't until I decided to take ownership of my belief in Jesus that my faith began to grow. Not just in the cerebral way of like knowing information, because there's a difference between knowing information and then applying it. But by being tuned into the Holy Spirit, watching his plan unfold before my very eyes, I could not deny the power of God. And so the crazy thing about Scripture is that it's living and it's breathing, sharper than any two-edged sword. So if you apply it, you absorb it, your appetite for the truths of God will only increase, right? The more you get it, the more you'll want it. I promise you. Some of you haven't given it a chance. Some of you read your verse of the day, and I've checked my box, and I'm good. But I just challenge you to just dive in. Pick a character. Pick a story. Come ask God. We'll direct you in some way that, again, Hosea, not boring. But you just have to start somewhere. And I'm telling you, once you get a little taste, man, you're just going to, that's promises of Scripture. Your eyes will be open. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: all Scripture is inspired by God. It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Verse 17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I want you to read this from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is the man. I love you, C.S. Lewis. Such a wise guy. He says this, right? I might read it twice, but I want you to really focus on these words. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Let me read it again. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. Christianity is not real, then it's of no importance. You and I are wasting our time this morning. We tried our best. We helped people along the way. Pat ourselves on the back. If it's true, of infinite importance. So if it's false, all right, let's keep you know, making each other feel good. If it's false, then whatever. I tried my best. I tried to be a good person. If it's true, then we have everything to lose. It is should be the most important aspect of your life.
Amen.
He goes on to say this. The only thing is it cannot be is moderately important. You can't have it both ways. You need to be on fire for Jesus Christ because you're missing it if you're not. Everything that you do, if you're not doing it some angle, some way to find kingdom work in it, then you're just going to find yourself frustrated. But when you start being consistent and you start to understand and these light bulbs start coming on, you're gonna start to see what we're talking about. And it's a beautiful thing. One thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. It can't be if we have nothing else going on Sunday morning, we'll go to church. It can't be if there's nothing else going on, we'll go to Wednesday night church. Like, it has to be a priority. Because again, I tell you all the time, the world will fill up your schedule. I promise you that. It can't be moderately important. Number three of what you'll get out of this month. You won't be fooled by false teachings. Many times in the New Testament, we see the rebuke and warning of false teachers. Paul, he had to combat it constantly in the early church. He's constantly writing letters, rebuking. You can't, this, no. It's Jesus plus nothing. No law, no circumcision, no. He was constantly doing and warning against false teachings. Those ones that will tickle your ears and make you feel good. You're a good person. Keep going. Let's be encouraged. Make sure and you drop your envelope off in the box as you leave. They tickle your ears. Colossians 2:8 says this. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Galatians 1:6 through 7. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. See, if you're up on your apologetics, if you're beginning to pursue and fall in love with the truths of Scripture, you're not going to be able to be fooled by something that could sound really good. Because I've talked to some atheists, guess what? They're really smart. And they say some things, I'm like, let me get back to you on that. That was a good one. Amen. Happens, right? But you won't be fooled because you'll know what truth is. The less we know our Bible, the less rooted you are in truth. And guess what? If your roots are shallow, if you got any gardeners out here, I'm not a gardener, but I know that if I have something and I want to transplant it over here, if its roots are not deep, it's a whole lot easier to transplant. If your spiritual roots are not deep, guess what? Someone is going to come into your life that you respect, love, cherish. They're going to speak a truth to you that is not correct, and they're going to uproot you from your truth, and they're going to plant you somewhere else if your roots are not deep. If you don't know the truth of Scripture, someone will be able to come and say whatever sounds good to your ears, and you will jump all over it. That's what human beings do, man. We want to go to the better this, better that, better smell, better tasting, better car, better. We want to go to the better. But if you're not rooted in truth, you can be snatched away. Number four, you'll feel more confident about sharing your faith. This is a big one, folks. This is a big one. The biggest barrier that keeps Christians from sharing their faith is fear. They're scared. They're scared to the point that only single digits of Christians that profess Christ will ever, folks, ever in their entire Christian life, tell one single person about Jesus. Single, it's like less than 3%. Professing Christians. What is one of our main commandments? Not a suggestion, a commandment as Christ followers. I'll give you a hint. It's in our mission statement. Love God, love others, make disciples. We're to make disciples. That means training other Christ followers. You who have been a Christian for a while, how many people have you personally discipled? Do you know that's your responsibility as a Christian? Amen. To reproduce yourself. What good is it to have a message that I give you truth and you take it and you put it in your pocket? I've got the cure for cancer, but But I don't tell anybody about it. I got the cure for corona. But I don't tell anybody about it. How effective would that be? You say you have truth. You say you have the answer. You'll never have to thirst. You'll never have to be hungry. I have the eternal answer, the key to heaven, but you don't tell a single person about that? What in the world? A lot of times it's because you're scared. See, you don't do it because you feel like you don't have enough knowledge to do so, right? You don't feel like you're adequate. You feel very inept. You don't feel like you have the right answers. Just leave that up to the pastors. The pastors will do that. They're going to disciple. They're going to teach. They're going to preach. That's you, though. You're called to teach. You're called to preach. You're called to disciple. Maybe not on stage, right? Maybe not in this setting, but each and every one of you is a disciple maker or should be.
Amen.
You may fear of not knowing what to say, fear of being able to unanswer their questions, fear of just looking ridiculous. But when you're studying this apologetic stuff, it's going to give you the confidence. It's going to make you feel prepared to be able to make disciples like you're commanded to do. I'll finish with this. 1 Peter 3, 15 through 16 says this. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. If someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ.
Amen.
Bible says they will know you because of how you love each other. That's how they'll know you. They'll be able to recognize you because of how you behave. And the way you behave is directed by the thoughts in your mind. Right? If we're taking captive these thoughts, we're trying to destroy these arguments, we have to have the information to be able to repeat to someone else. Again, I can't lead you to a place that I haven't been. And so this stuff is important. And I want to be very clear that, again, we're not out here to win arguments. I'm not out here to choke you out and get you, armbar you, and say you better believe in Jesus or you're going to sleep. Like, that's not going to ever be effective ever. You have to display something in your life that they want to be a part of. Because once you do that, guess what? If Greg just, I see him at work, man, he's handling his business. I there's something about him. He shouldn't have to tell me he's a Christian. I should be able to look into his life and say, man, whatever you have, whatever you're about, whatever water, whatever it is that you're drinking, give me some. When I have that apologetics under my belt, when I have that ammo locked and loaded to where I can speak intelligently to someone in love and to be able to show them Jesus instead of just whatever we try to do on a daily basis, it's important. And when you have the confidence because you know your stuff, if I was to come up here and give a lecture on some kind of rocket, whatever, cell biology, chemistry, like, I would be way out of my element. But I've studied, I've prepared, and so now I can teach. You need to study and you need to prepare because you're going out into a war zone. I'm going to dismiss this group of people, and you're going to go and you're going to leave these doors into chaos. The world is a crazy place, and it needs Jesus. And it needs Christians that know their stuff, so that we can be appropriate in how we respond, how we love, how we spread the gospel, how we disciple. That's how we can be effective. As the praise team comes, we're just going to have a short time of response. Listen, this might be a time where you tell yourself, I've been a Christian a really long time. I've gone to church. I've gone through the motions. I'm saved. I love Jesus. But I feel like I'm just kind of, I'm still missing. We're always growing. We're always learning the sanctification process, all of these good things. We're never going to reach it. There's not a ta-da moment where, all right, I've got it all figured out. But I want to encourage you as we go through this month to stay hungry and to get hungry and to love the Lord. And to see that when you invest, your investment's not going to come back void, right? When you invest in people, sometimes you get frustrated. You can be frustrated. Sometimes they'll reject. But it's worth it. And when you can have that conversation and actually, you know, love on them and it's effective. It's effective. I'm telling you, watch and just be amazed. So as you stand to your feet, We'll just have a time of response. Again, this might be a time where you just come and you say, all right, Lord, I've gone through the motions a lot. I couldn't tell you last time I read my Bible. I couldn't tell you last time I discipled someone. I couldn't tell you last time I witnessed to anyone. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a camo Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. I love Jesus, but I really don't want anybody to know about it. Don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to step out of my comfort zone. I could lose my job for being a Christian. But we have to be an example. We have to learn how to love others, and we have to start by learning our own beliefs of how we can be effective and how we can reach people.